Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman.
And we are here this time to talk about what's new with podcasting trends. Here we are approaching the halfway point of the year, and we are going to talk about podcast marketing trends, what's going on in the podcast space, and what looks to be on the horizon for the near and potentially far future of podcasting.
Yeah, so here we are, as Kim mentioned, right on the midway point of the year, and it's been somewhat exciting for podcast hosts, although, as usual, it's very much up and down.
Right, and before we get into the episode, we're going to take a few minutes and talk about our podcast marketer product. It is a direct-to-mobile service. It leverages Apple Wallet or third-party Android apps to help you reach out and engage your listeners outside of your podcast. And if you're not particularly sure how mobile wallets work or why you would want to pair a mobile wallet with a podcast, of course, the reasons would be it increases your listenership, gets you more downloads, subscribers, shares, etc. Hazel's going to take a couple minutes here, and she's going to give you the rundown on how mobile wallets actually work in this regard. So, back to you, Hazel.
Great. Thank you. So, a podcast marketer pass is, when you strip it down, is really a mobile wallet pass. And there are two sides. The front of the pass, of the podcast marketer pass, would have your show title. You would have, perhaps, when your show is going on. Your title, who you are, is really what it takes. On the back of a pass, you have listen links, you have call to action links, you want to get any guests to call in, you'll have your phone number right there. Anybody wants to email you, it's right there. Again, your podcast links are there, and it's a great tool to market your podcast.
And you know, I think you might want to mention that all those links on the back,
yes,
are direct calls to action. So if you put the phone number for your call-in on there,
yes, then it's tap one tap, and great, you go straight to your call. Also, if you have an article that complements your podcast for that week, you can put it right on there. Drive the traffic to really where you want them.
What about your advertisers? Can you include them on the back?
Absolutely, you can. You have any sponsors for your podcast? You put them right on the back and you give them some extra added value.
Cool.
Yeah, so we also want to remind you that one of our older podcasts, I believe it's episode 10, it's a marketing podcast with mobile wallets. And it's a great wealth of ideas and great stuff in there that you can use to determine how, when, where, and why to set up mobile campaigns to help grow your listener base.
Sweet. So as a segue into what's going on in the podcasting sphere, we want to start today with a quick, easy discussion about something totally amazing that happened in podcast land. If you're active in the podcasting space or you pay a lot of attention to current events, you probably heard about this when it happened, but if not, we want to touch on it for just a moment. S-Town, which is the latest addition to This American Life's stable of shows, had 40 million confirmed downloads in their first month of release.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? 40 yeah. million actual real downloads. That's never, ever been done before. If you know who Nick Kwa is, he's the producer of the Hot Pod newsletter. And if you're not getting that, go to hotpod.com and sign up for it. It's really good. I wanted just to quote him about the S-Town release. And his quote is this one. "It's the biggest rollout a podcast has ever seen in the medium's history. Solidly beating the previous title holder, which was Serial Season 2, that saw an average of 4 million downloads per episode in its first 30 days, according to PodTrack. Now, for a little bit of context, consider that This American Life, which is one of the biggest and most well-known podcasts in the industry, generally gets about 2.5 million downloads a week."
That speaks a lot of how This American Life leverages their audience base and drives traffic to their properties in an organized manner that's designed to get results and make advertisers very happy with those results. I don't think that anyone dreamed that they would have so much success, but it's crazy. I mean, look what happened. 40 million.
40 million. Yeah, it was absolutely unbelievable. You know, I saw a lot of viral about it on Facebook back when it happened.
Right.
A lot of people that I think maybe had an opinion about the podcast content, about how, oh yeah, you know, it was all kind of bullshit, or, oh, what a great story they were telling, and so on. So it also had some sort of polarizing content that actually got people involved, whether they liked it, whether they believed in it, whether they thought it was a good podcast. People were talking about it, and, you know, that's always a big thing.
Yeah, and in the same vein, there's been a lot of controversy in podcast land that not long ago, and it has to do with stats. Yes, again with stats, Kim. We're always talking about this behind the scenes. It's terrible that we don't have a way to measure accurately what's going on with iTunes, and that Apple doesn't really seem to feel that there's anything broken, so they don't appear to be planning on fixing it.
That's true. You know, everybody says that at least 50% of podcasts are listened to via iTunes. I've seen statistical research that says it could be as much as 85% of podcast listens are generally on iTunes. You know, as anybody who's not using iTunes as an option is really probably kidding themselves about their numbers, or perhaps they're using a deceptive system to bump up their numbers. You know, it's really hard, the bots thing. And sponsors and advertisers don't really know that much about the ROI or the effectiveness of their ad spends. So they have a hard time measuring it. We don't have any hard statistics. Almost nobody does. But podcast411.com ran an article a little while back that was called "Sorry, Virginia, There Is No Such Thing as the Perfect Length for Podcasts." And while the title sounds innocuous enough, a number of the geeks in podcast land, including yours truly, chimed in with comments about the piece. And the argument hinges on whether or not downloads are an accurate indication of time spent listening to a podcast, which, of course, in my opinion, it doesn't. Anytime a podcast is set up for an auto download, it just means that an episode is sitting somewhere on somebody's phone and, you know, potentially unheard and unloved. I mean, you should see how many episodes of Splendid Table I clear out of my phone.
On your phone?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's just one of the auto downloads that I have hitting the iPhone. I mean, and most of these episodes, I do not listen to them before I delete them. I look at them and there's like, oh my God, there's 15 episodes. It's right. Overwhelming. And I just dump them all. It's a mass delete. I figure I can always go back and look them up and listen to them individually if I'm looking for something or if I want to hear something. So the idea that I somehow as a subscriber am bringing value to Splendid Table's advertisers, I mean, I'm not even worth as much as a dime for most episodes. I mean, it's a completely flawed way of thinking.
Yeah, it is flawed. Yeah, but yet we don't have a better system for data collection or even analysis. So we just keep going with what we know. There's possibly something new on the horizon for statistics on podcasts coming out through iTunes, although we're probably too early into things to actually know if the product really works. And if it does, whether or not Apple will change things up to prevent it from continuing to work.
Well, yeah, it's an Australian cloud-based audio management company called Omni Studio, and they have spent months developing a way to monitor the iTunes podcast app. Now, I don't know the specifics. They've just released an upgrade several months ago for their enterprise customers, which for the first time potentially lifts the curtain on these statistics. And RadioMagOnline.com had an article I ran across that dated all the way back to March, and I will quote them here.
Yes.
In a press release, CEO Sharon Taylor said that insight at this granular level of detail is not currently available for Apple's app anywhere else. Side note from me, she's talking about anywhere else other than Omni Studio. So then she continues to say, previously we could only get consumption insights if we controlled the player, so being able to see this for Apple Podcasts is a breakthrough. Not only could this help to verify host-read ad plays, it will also help from a content perspective to lift the curtain on podcast audiences' listening habits. And then via email, she confirmed for Radio Mag that the company is tracking about 30% of all plays from within the Apple Podcast app. Now, this sample is based on listeners who stream rather than pre-download these podcasts.
It's a pretty good sample. And what Omni doesn't have yet is a way to verify that users actually listen to ads. And since we all know that ad skipping is likely very prevalent, especially among the younger users who think nothing of taking the time to fast forward through 2 minutes of ad content when they are actively listening, we'll be waiting with bated breath to see how this one turns out as time goes by.
Yeah. I mean, it would be completely amazing if they've actually figured out a way to crack the code of the Apple Podcast app so that they can determine what's happening. What I see, though, is that potentially if they've done this, Apple is going to look at it and be like, oh, nope, sorry, we don't allow that.
That's
They'll
right.
come back and battle it out and Apple will block it. They won't be able to do it, et cetera. So, you know, that's one of those things where, yeah, I totally agree. Bated breath. We'll see how it goes as the time goes on.
Yeah. And moving on to some new trends in podcasting, kids are all the rage. NPR, WNYC Studios are both cooking up kid-friendly shows and have high hopes that they can garner the tween and young adult market by providing suitable content that kids will want to listen to. See, I'm not really entirely sure what to think about this. What about you? I mean, really, we're going to expect kids to put down Nintendo and stop playing Minecraft so they can listen to audio only? Not my kid.
No, that I think is a problem. You've got absolutely zero visual stimulation here, and I'm not really on board with the idea. I think that we are, well, I won't say we are because my son's obviously not 10 and under anymore, but yours is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that crowd has been raised to expect a complete immersion in their media in order to capture and keep attention spans for longer than a minute or two. I mean, do you really think that your son is going to drop the tablet where he's got the visual immersion and the audio is secondary and all of a sudden he's going to start listening to somebody telling him a story that has no visual, and now he's got to, what, sit there with his eyes closed and listen to it to keep outside stimulus from interfering?
Yeah, right. Like, even when he listens to Spotify, he stares at the album cover.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be a hard sell.
Yeah.
And, you know, last but not least, the National Association of Broadcasters show was in Vegas, as usual, back in the spring, and they seem to be taking a genuine interest in podcasting. The rumor has it that podcasting is going to get more attention and more floor space with the next edition of the NAB show, which will be next year in Vegas in the spring.
Oh, so they're finally taking it seriously.
Well, Rob Greenlee, you know, he's the director of content for Spreaker. He told me in a message that NAB will have an area on the ambition floor next year for podcasting and a content/panel pavilion for podcasting next year.
Well, that's some big news. Since anything that brings more light to podcasting in a way, that's a positive and helps producers large and small grow their brands and shows. I mean, that's great.
Well, I'm sure that NAB also sees potential dollar signs, since if you're adding podcast floor space and a podcast pavilion, that's a whole nother set of companies giving them checks for that floor space and hosting events and helping create a bigger event for them during the show. And, you know, there are a number of podcasting specific trade shows. There's the one in Orlando. I think it's in like November usually. There's a couple of other decent sized, but when you start talking about somebody like the National Association of Broadcasters bringing this into their umbrella, that is kind of a big deal, I think.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's all for all our trends this halfway point of the year. And I'd like to wrap it up. And we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, here's to hoping that your days are bright and sunny and your listener count is going steadily in the right direction.
Well, thanks again. And if you want to sign up with the podcast Marketer Pass, you can find us at mobilewalletmarketer.com.
That's right. Thanks. Have a good week.